It's time to take the quiz.
5 questions, 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week.
Take the quiz every weekday at thequiz.fox and then listen to the quiz podcast to find out how you did.
Play, share, and of course, listen to the quiz at thequiz.fox.
It's the Media Buzz Meter with Howard Kurtz.
I'm a bit tired today, so if you hear me slipping into semi-coherence, you'll know why. But I've got so much good stuff on the menu, even before we get to the top 5 stories. Steve Bannon, who, of course, is the former Trump campaign chairman who's got a huge following on the right with his War Room podcast, now says that all 149 House Republicans who voted for the Kevin McCarthy-Joe Biden compromise have to be primaried. Including people we're quite fond of, he says, and some who we used to be fond of, have to be primaried. You know why? They have to stand on a debate stage in the primary season, and they have to justify what they did with the knowledge that they had at the time, what went on, and then what the impact is. Because it's going to be a lot worse than it is today. Marjorie Taylor Greene, an ally of Kevin McCarthy, who'd be included in this, said in a text, she's done with Bannon. She texted Matt Gaetz, Steve and I aren't getting back together. And if he keeps it up, I'll take the house and kids. I hope you send it to Steve because I'm done. Okay, Robert Kennedy Jr. running for president. This, of course, the sad anniversary of the murder of his father, who was running for president. And I still can't get over how there wasn't enough Secret Service there to stop an intruder from going into that kitchen in that hotel and firing those shots. Anyway, yesterday he spent 2 hours talking things up with Elon Musk on Twitter, you know, who had said, I'll put people from both parties on. But he was asked by a top DeSantis donor, what happened to the Democratic Party? And Kennedy said, for 9 minutes, he spent 9 minutes basically attacking Joe Biden as a warmonger. What, for defending Ukraine after the Russian invasion, and claimed their party was under the control of the pharmaceutical industry. So some of this stuff is kind of whack job. And then, of course, there's his anti-vax crusade. Now, I know Kennedy has, been between 16 and 19% in the polls, but I think that's a protest vote. I don't think many Democrats want a guy who spews this kind of stuff to be the next president or the Democratic nominee. So if you are a loyal Democrat, but you're unhappy with President Biden, or you think he's too old, or you just can't, you just think he should retire and you can't see him serving a full second term, you look for an outlet to express your dissatisfaction. And there's RFK. So, yesterday I spent a long time talking about CNN's Chris Licht, a pretty damaging piece in The Atlantic, which went through all the mistakes that he had made, a lot of quotes from Licht himself. And it has caused an uproar. Lots of other people are now writing about it. I wrote about it in today's column, actually. So you had to stop and think. Well, because I'm always writing the day before, so you got to get your ducks in a row. And what I said in the column is what I said yesterday on the podcast, which is, and there's some new news here, so bear with me. I don't understand the vitriol and animosity from the rest of the press toward Chris Licht. He's been there a year. Nobody can turn that battleship around in the year. He's taken on what I called in the headline Mission Impossible, meaning to take CNN's shredded reputation when it was, you know, a liberal anti-Trump channel, I called it MSNBC Lite, and go back to the roots of trying to be a straight news channel, which is itself problematic because it doesn't necessarily produce big ratings. I remember, you know, during the years when I worked there, you know, the understanding was that if there was a war, if there was an earthquake, if there was an impeachment, you know, people would tune to CNN, breaking news. But if not much was going on, people tend to go elsewhere. Anyway, Licht has now apologized. Here's a New York Times write-up saying all this turmoil has led some staff members to speculate privately about whether Licht will last as the chief executive. Speculate privately? Is that the standard now for the New York Times? I mean, the impression that a lot of the media are leaving is, you know, that he could be gone tomorrow. And I don't think that's right. And I think he's taken, you know, he's made mistakes. Absolutely. I go through it in the piece. But I don't quite understand the pummeling he's getting. So Licht yesterday got on the editorial call. He said he will fight like hell to win back the trust of CNN staff. Quote, I know these past few days have been very hard for this group, and I fully recognize that this news cycle and my role in it overshadow the incredible week of reporting that we just had and distracted from the work of every single journalist in this organization. And for that, I am sorry. And he also said, remember I told you that he had moved up, he had abandoned Jeff Zucker's old office and moved up to the 22nd floor where staff members felt they couldn't, they just didn't see him. They didn't know what he was doing. He was a remote presence. And Licht acknowledged that maybe that was not such a good idea. Well, now he's going back to an office on a newsroom floor, which is as concrete evidence as you can find that that was a mistake. Here, by coincidence, is a CNN story, but it's about Prince Harry in London testifying in his suit against the Mirror Group newspapers, you know, which engaged in phone hacking against him and others. Mirror attorney Andrew Green said the newspaper group, quote, unreservedly apologizes for using a private eye to inspect the Duke's private life. It never should have happened and will never happen again. But when he cross-examined Harry, Harry said he had been made aware of many articles, negative articles, he says, stemming from the hacking. And, you know, since he confided this only in a few friends, he said your circle of friends starts to shrink. Unfortunately, he'd been made aware of other articles that he didn't even read, that all this has caused him to be paranoid and distrust those around him, that Harry saw a lot of articles at the time, but he couldn't recall any specific articles that caused him distress. Because it's 20 years ago, I can't speculate, the prince said. So this, of course, is huge in the UK. I mean, here, Harry coming back, suing one of the tabloids, which has now apologized, but it's getting huge play in Britain, as you might imagine. Story number one, and this is the pattern. Three lawyers for Donald Trump went to the Justice Department yesterday to make the case that the government should not charge the former president in connection with his possession of classified documents after leaving office, according to people familiar with the matter, says the Washington Post. The meeting lasted about 2 hours. Special counsel Jack Smith, as well as another DOJ attorney, took part in the meeting, I should say, but not Merrick Garland. It is not unusual for lawyers for high-profile defendants to seek an audience with senior DOJ officials toward the end of a federal criminal investigation, but it would be uncommon for such meetings to take place with the AG. Trump has denied wrongdoing, and after the meeting, he went on Truth Social. How can DOJ, this is all caps, so I'm trying to reflect that with my voice, how can DOJ possibly charge me who did nothing wrong when no other presidents were charged, the greatest witch hunt of all time? Well, Joe Biden has a separate special counsel looking into all these boxes of stuff that he either took as vice president or allowed others to take. Greatest witch hunt of all time is pretty much Trump's position on this. And not coincidentally, a federal grand jury in Florida was brought back, or will be brought back, later this week. The Times says prosecutors are expected to question a new witness. At least one of the witnesses already appeared before that grand jury, which is separate from that special grand jury that was sitting for months in Washington. Not clear why a second grand jury is taking testimony in Florida. Trump expects to face charges in the documents investigation, according to people who have spoken to him, though that does not mean that he is being assured that charges are pending. But look, the Wall Street Journal was right when it said that Jack Smith is close to wrapping up his investigation, not of everything, not about January 6th, for example, but about these classified documents. And remember, there was that tape that surfaced last week, and all these pundits went on the other news channels and said, this is it, he's done, he's toast, etc. But as actually happened in the far less important indictment brought by Manhattan DA Alvin Bragg, that's the Stormy Daniels case, where a trial date's already been set for next year during the primaries, this does strongly suggest that Jack Smith is preparing to bring charges on the classified documents question. When you have the lawyers for the subject of the probe come in and say, here's why you should not indict my client, and you start taking a new testimony from a grand jury, that's a pretty strong signal that Smith is not only close to wrapping up this part of the investigation, but also, if he wasn't planning to indict, why have the defense lawyers in, the Trump lawyers? So that's what happened. That's exactly how it unfolded in the Manhattan case. This would be far, far, far more serious. And I know that people defending Trump and the former president himself are going to say, well, look at Biden. He took all these boxes and they were in Chinatown and blah, blah, blah. Fine. They can make that comparison. They can make any political argument they want. The DOJ found no wrongdoing, by the way, of Mike Pence, who had some classified documents at his Indiana home. No ruling yet on Biden. But the thing is, when you have the lawyers in to sort of do their last stand, that strongly suggests, powerfully indicates, that there's an indictment coming. I mean, look, Jack Smith could change his mind. The new witnesses could poke holes. I don't know. But there is a difference, and I'm probably going to have to say this a few more times, if this happened. Not great that Joe Biden as VP either took all these boxes of classified documents or allowed others to take them, meaning people working with him on the VP staff. And yet, Biden discovered this. Biden contacted DOJ. Biden didn't defy a series of subpoenas. And it's just a very different case. Could the president be charged in his case? Sure. But I think it's unlikely. And it is, you know, your classic apples and oranges.
Hey, let's pause right there. The buzz meter continues right after this.
From the Fox News Podcasts Network, subscribe and listen to the Trey Gowdy Podcast. Former federal prosecutor and four-term U.S. congressman from South Carolina brings you a one-of-a-kind podcast. Subscribe and listen now by going to foxnewspodcasts.com.
Story number two, Mark Leibovich in The Atlantic. writing about Ron DeSantis. And one of the reasons this caught my eye is Rich Lowry of National View was on my show Sunday, and he said the press is ridiculously obsessed with if Ron DeSantis has an awkward smile or otherwise seems to not to be the warmest guy in the world. So along comes Leibovich, who spent a day following DeSantis. He said the fast-talking first lady, much better suited to this than her halting husband. He smiled for the camera like the dentist had just asked him to bite down on a blob of putty, like he was trying to make a mold or to fit one. It was more of a cringe than a grin. He was trying, but this did not look like fun for him. Retail politics was never DeSantis' gift. Not that it mattered much before, in the media-dominated expanse of Florida politics. DeSantis is the ultimate performative politician when it comes to demonstrating outrage and kneecapping various woke abuses, but not so much when it comes to the actual in-person performance of politics. Ron spoke in personal terms less often, but when he did, it was usually to prove that he understands the need to protect kids from being preyed upon by the various and ruthless forces of wokeness. His whole act can feel like a clunky contrivance, a forced persona railing against phony or hyped up outrages. He can be irascible. So clearly, Leibovich not terribly impressed by the governor's retail skills. And we'll see if he gets better at it, if it doesn't look like it's a forced contrivance. He's never run on the national level. And I want to see more of him, hear more from him, which is a little difficult because he is avoiding most of the mainstream media. So, he gave a few speeches last week in Iowa, New Hampshire, and South Carolina. A couple times they were taken live for a few minutes at least by the cable networks, or just, clips were shown. And that's okay. But here you have Nikki Haley doing a CNN town hall. You have Donald Trump doing a CNN town hall. You have Donald Trump doing a Fox town hall with Hannity. And DeSantis is not availing himself of those opportunities. Others are running, of course. Tim Scott went on The View yesterday. The View just ripped him, just denounced him, claiming that the senator has a philosophy that since he made it from a childhood of poverty, that anybody else could make it, and therefore it is not systemic racism. And so he was asked to define systemic racism. It got pretty contentious. But what happened is, with one of Scott's answers, the crowd started to boo. Obviously, a liberal crowd would be more attracted to The View, and we talked about The View's metamorphosis a few days ago. Whoopi Goldberg jumped in and said, don't boo this guy. We want to hear from him. And they talked about Disney and the radical left, etc. Oh, here's the quote from Whoopi. No, not here. I'm sorry, sir. Do not boo. This is The View. We accept. We don't have to believe everything people say, but you cannot boo people here. Please, you cannot do it. And Scott, who is using the attack on him, particularly by Sonny Hostin, to raise money, he went to the lion's den and he took her on and he said her whole argument about most blacks not being able to make it is a dangerous, offensive, disgusting message. So on this point about going to less than friendly outlets, Tim Scott showed he can do it, picking up on my last point about Ron DeSantis. Okay, number three, another entry in the race. Cornel West said yesterday he's running
as the candidate for the People's Party. I've decided to run for Truth and Justice, which takes the form of running for President of the United States, West said in a video announcement. I enter the quest for truth. I enter the quest of justice. And the presidency is just one vehicle we pursue that truth and justice. You know, he is a former professor at Harvard, professor emeritus at Princeton, smart guy. He said he cares more about voters and their quality of life than other political parties. Neither political party wants to tell the truth about Wall Street, about Ukraine, about the Pentagon, about big tech. Do we have what it takes? We shall see. Now, I actually think, I mean, look, it's a vanity run, and Cornel West is not going to be elected president or even get the Democratic nomination, but, I mean, he's not looking for the Democratic nomination. He's looking for the People's Party nomination. But I actually would take him more seriously than RFK Jr. And for real progressives who think Biden should have held out for a better deal, who, for whatever reason, have hesitations about President Biden, particularly, you know, his mental and physical acuity and whether he can make it through a second term, I could see some of those people turning to Cornel West, much more so than RFK, who's, you know, peddles vaccine conspiracy theories. And there is another candidate who says he's not going to run because this is the first time someone's actually said this. He doesn't want to add to the growing crowd of anti-Trump candidates who, you know, will obviously divide the anti-Trump vote. New Hampshire Governor Chris Sununu said he's not going to enter the race yesterday. He said, he told CNN that he wanted to have a more candid, a little more unleashed voice in the primary than he would be able to as a candidate. I want more independence on the Republican Party team. I want more young voters on the Republican Party team. I think more folks in the Republican Party have to have that kind of voice, that kind of emphasis on message in making sure this is about the Republican Party, not just about the former president. Sununu, more of a moderate conservative. And look, in saying that he doesn't want to, you know, further divvy up the field of Trump opponents, and I have no doubt that that is part of his reasoning, he also may have looked at the numbers and the fundraising involved and everything and decided, I'm not going to get anywhere. You know, I can't reach the level of a serious candidate. So both things can simultaneously be true.
Hey, let's pause right there. The buzz meter continues right after this.
Today, I guess I should make this story number four, Mike Pence will get into the race. He filed the paperwork yesterday. I love that it's become like a two-step process. You get 2 days of so-and-so is jumping into the race. And, you know, I talked a little bit about this yesterday. I don't know. I think it's very tough for Donald Trump's vice president to run against him without alienating the MAGA voters. And he's trying to sort of selectively pick his spots without frontally attacking Trump. It's a very difficult thing to do. In a normal environment, by which I mean there was no January 6th, there was no Donald Trump contesting his loss in 2020, Pence might be more formidable. You know, you look at it, you look at history, and former VPs who ran, who lost with their president and ran the next time around. For instance, when Ronald Reagan beat Jimmy Carter and Walter Mondale, 4 years later in 1984, Mondale ran and became the Democratic nominee. Unfortunately for him, he got clobbered by Reagan. And George H.W. Bush was Reagan's vice president for 8 years. And George H.W. Bush was Reagan's VP for 8 years. And then he ran in 88 and won. There are a number of examples. And so
again, in a normal environment, I think Pence would have a good shot. But instead, you know, he's alienated the MAGA Republicans, and he has a hard time as Donald Trump's loyal vice president for four years, winning over, let's just say, independent Democratic voters. Also this week, Chris Christie gets in. And here's an interesting take. The New York Times went and interviewed a bunch of New Jersey voters. When Christie left the governorship, he had like a 15% approval rating, and he had been riding so high earlier. So, oh, he's getting in today. So I may have mixed up the days. Anyway, they're both running. This is great, says the New York Times, if only for its potential as a grab the popcorn thriller. A one-on-one debate between Trump and Christie, quote, would have more viewers than the Super Bowl, said John Bramnick, Republican state senator, who's also a stand-up comic. Trump may be able to call you a name, he said, but Christie will take that name, twist it, and come back with three or four things that will leave Trump lying down, wait for the count. Well, you know, Trump's a pretty good debater, too. In interviews with New Jersey voters, this is my favorite part, Christie's assets and liabilities were repeatedly described as two sides of the same coin. So, to moderates thirsty for a centrist voice, he is not Trump. And to Trump loyalists, who might prefer that Christie retreat permanently to his beach house, it was the same refrain. He is not Trump. David Phillips is quoted. He's a state construction official in Trenton. Anybody in the mix who's not Trump is good. He said he tended to vote for Democrats and was never a big fan of Christie, but he's a reasonable guy compared to Trump. You know, this is something that Biden likes to say a lot. You know, don't compare me to the Almighty, compare me to the alternative. So even some folks, I guess, who happen to be interviewed by the Times reporter or reporters, want Christie to be able to get on a debate stage and hit Trump hard. Because everyone else is sort of like, well, you know, we have to break the culture of losing. Everyone knows who they're talking about, but they don't even mention his name. Christie likes to, you know, has a punch in the nose style. But one thing, you know, Trump is saying he may not even do the first two debates. First one scheduled for the end of August, handled by Fox. And the other thing is, I mentioned briefly yesterday, the RNC is saying you need 40,000 individual donors. I think that's way too high. And that would mean that Christie probably wouldn't qualify because he's only got, you know, a couple of months to raise that kind of money. Look no further than the Daily Beast executive editor Katie Baker's recent contribution to the Ron DeSantis is worse or more dangerous than Donald Trump genre. Casey DeSantis, his wife, is the Walmart Melania, says the headline. Because apparently her choice of a bomber jacket with the words "Where Woke Goes to Die" reminded people of Melania Trump wearing that jacket that said, "I really don't care," during an earlier controversy about immigration. The message on Melania's coat, like the one-time model herself, was sphinx-like. Was it a sign that Melania dreamed of escaping her boorish husband? I can't believe we're going through this again. By contrast, Casey DeSantis' coat is just like her husband Ron's campaign. Crude, grasping, saying the ugly part out loud. Whereas Trump would wink-wink at the fascists, don't forget his dog whistle to the very fine people on both sides of Charlottesville, DeSantis wants to peel off Trump's base by being even more explicit about who he intends to target. Okay, so DeSantis' Florida is where the woke go to die, and a lot of other people die as well. A lot of older retirees go there. I mean, this is just bursting with animosity toward both Governor DeSantis and his wife.
There's some other people quoted here. Oh, let's just see. DeSantis, meanwhile, says one of his critics, is the little jerk who's going to make us all pay for how he had no friends in third grade. New Republic, believe it, a DeSantis presidency could be even worse than Trump. Vanity Fair, Ron DeSantis shouldn't be covered like just another Republican. And lots of MSNBC personalities. So the piece concludes by saying the media want more of Trump because he's better for ratings. But, you know, it's just, how do I say this? So many media people who became part of the resistance or flirted with the resistance, it was sort of like Trump is a unique danger to democracy. Now, whether you believe that or not, it was like we have to give up our normal objectivity because Trump, you know, is such a horrible, no good, very bad person. But now they're saying, oh, you know this other Republican who's running for president? He's really bad too. He's worse than Trump. So maybe it's almost all Republicans. And, you know, Ron DeSantis, whether you hate his record in Florida or love it, is kind of a conventional politician. You know what his record is, but because he's more disciplined than Trump, people, some critics of the Republican Party are now saying, he'll be even more awful than Donald. All right, so finally, story five. Do you have $3,500 lying around that you don't know what to do with? Well, Apple yesterday announced a new pair of goggles, which will take you into the virtual reality. For the mere price of $3,499, starting early next year. I believe augmented reality is a profound technology, said CEO Tim Cook, and that it will introduce people to new forms of spatial computing, deeply immersive in ways that were previously impossible, to bring you real-life magic. Oh, Bob Iger was there, and he was saying, you know, Disney will participate in this and put stuff on the goggles. Apple's Vision Pro uses eye movements and hand movements for navigation. Also employs voice input. Has a feature called EyeSight that shows other people a wearer's eyes if they're in augmented reality mode to help users stay connected to those around them. The screen turns opaque to the outside world if the wearer is in fully immersive VR mode. I don't know. And by the way, Mark Zuckerberg is trying to beat this by coming out with his own Facebook headset for $500. So if you're intrigued by this kind of thing, but you don't want to pay seven times as much, maybe Zuck is the way to go. But my take is, I thought that, you know, virtual reality was kind of, and certainly in the Facebook version, turning out to be a bust. And what everybody's really excited about now or scared of or gingerly exploring is artificial intelligence. It's all these chatbots and AI and so forth. If you have that, do you really want to be wearing some kind of headset or goggles and walking around and people can see whether you're immersed or checked out? I don't know. I'll wait and see what people say about it when it comes out and what the reviewers say. But I think I won't be going into the old Kurtz piggy bank to come up with the $3,500. Well, thanks as always for sharing this time with me. It's a hot week on the campaign because there's two new candidates. But, you know, you just have to say, I mean, Donald Trump is the overwhelming front runner at this point. Now, I don't know if that's going to change. It might. It's early. You know, people look at the past polls in the same period of time, and the front runners were, you know, Rudy Giuliani, Hillary Clinton, who ended up not winning as well as others. I appreciate you subscribing to our little venture here, almost 4 million downloads last year. If you're not a subscriber, Apple iTunes is a very good place to do it because you don't get the ads. And we'll see you tomorrow
with more BuzzMeter.
Listen ad-free on Fox News Podcasts and via Apple Podcasts, and Prime members can listen to this show ad-free on Amazon Music.
From the Fox News Podcasts Network. Subscribe and listen to the Trey Gowdy Podcast. Former federal prosecutor and four-term U.S. congressman from South Carolina brings you a one-of-a-kind podcast. Subscribe and listen now by going to foxnewspodcasts.com.